My respected brothers and elders, when Shaitan was rejected from the heavens, he had taken a vow, and he says, "Fabima aghwaytani, O Allah Ta'ala, on account of you misleading me, la ughwiyannahum ajma'in, I will lead all of them astray. ثم لآتينهم من بين أيديهم ومن خلفهم." Then my jealousy for Adam and his progeny is such that I will try my best. I will come from in front, from behind him, from his sides. In every way I will try to mislead him. Because it was this Adam on account of whom I was thrown out. I was anticipating that position of becoming the vicegerent of Allah Ta'ala in this world, and it didn't work out for me, it worked out for him. So my jealousy for him will remain, and I will mislead him. If I am dispatched to Jahannam, then he must be dispatched to Jahannam as well. The Quran, to illustrate this point, explains us the ways of Shaitan. In various siparas, Allah Ta'ala explains how Shaitan tries to deceive, so that mankind, the beloved of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, may be on his guard, may be alert, may know the trickery of Shaitan, and may not be duped by the cheap treachery of Shaitan. So Allah Ta'ala says, يَعِدُهُمْ وَيُمَنِّيهِمْ. Shaitan frightens you. What he frightens you of? الشَّيْطَانُ يَعِدُكُمُ الْفَقْرُ. The one thing that he frightens all of us is of poverty. كَيَا هُوْغَا. What's going to happen? If I'm not going to be insured, what's going to be happen? If I'm not going to involve myself in this type of a haram policy, what's going to happen? And if that woman, if she doesn't come out of the home and she doesn't educate herself, then what's going to happen to her? She would suffer mentally, emotionally, she will be drawn back, she will suffer. What will happen? So these are all the snares of Shaitan. Shaitan will throw this fear at us. And Allah Ta'ala promises that Shaitan is going to do this. يَعِدُهُمْ وَيُمَنِّيهِمْ الشَّيْطَانُ يَعِدُكُمُ الْفَقْرُ. Shaitan will warn you about, he will frighten you about poverty. This is his warning. This is how he's going to get you. We may say it's the need of the time, that women also have to come out of their homes and work. Otherwise, emotionally they will be drawn back. Mentally they will be drawn back. And we can have a whole host of reasoning and excuses. But we need to ask ourselves that Islam is not a new religion. It's here out for over 1400 years. And women had been living in their homes quite comfortably. The homes were running. How did they manage running for all these 1400 years? Suddenly, in the last 30 years or so, we see the pressing need for women to come out, as though the man, he is failing in his duty, that he has to look after the house. So he says, "No, I am failing in my duty, you rather carry on." So this is an inspiration of Shaitan. Allah Ta'ala says, الشَّيْطَانُ يَعِدُكُمُ الْفَقْرُ. Shaitan frightens you of fear, of poverty. The second thing that Shaitan gets us with, وَيَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَىٰ. He will instruct and enjoin you towards indecent work, all types of indecent work, under most beautiful pretexts of gender equality, etc., that they need to be equal, they need not to have any type of inferiority complex within them. So in this type of pretexts and excuses, that woman is made to stand equally to the man, whereas we know in the back of our minds that the woman can never be competent as a man. And Rasulullah says this very, very clearly, naqisatul aqli wa deen, that she is deficient. If Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said this, then till the day of Qiyamah she will be deficient. No power on the earth can make her perfect. When Rasulullah already ruled out that she is going to be deficient, she will remain deficient. So when a person is deficient, then you need someone to rule over him. The child, he is deficient is in his intelligence. He is not mature enough. He cannot take decisions for himself. So you need someone to take decisions on his behalf. In the same manner, Rasulullah is saying that she is deficient. So when she is deficient, then Rasulullah says, "Ar-rijalu qawwamun." Man will be leaders over women. You will have to lead them. You will have to guide them. You will have to play the leading role in their lives. They will not take decisions for themselves. Then again, Allah Ta'ala speaks about shaitan and his work, his treachery, how he gets us. كَمَثَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِذْ قَالَ لِلْإِنسَانِ كْفُرْ فَلَمَّا كَفَرَ قَالَ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِّنْكَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهَ رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Shaitan instructs mankind that go towards disbelief, go towards disobedience, be ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will give you وَيُمَنِّيهِمْ. He will give you lengthy aspirations, give good pictures he will give you. That this will happen and this will happen. And he will inspire you in this way. He'll let you dream and he'll let you live in a dream world, giving you lengthy, lengthy hopes and lengthy, lengthy aspirations. يَعِدُهُمْ وَيُمَنِّيهِمْ. These are the wordings of the Quran Sharif. That this is how shaitan plays with the human mind. He gives you lengthy, lengthy pictures, lengthy dreams and aspirations, hopes. That this will happen. And you secure yourself in this way, this will be your security, etc. يَعِدُهُمْ وَيُمَنِّيهِمْ وَمَا يَعِدُهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. Allah Ta'ala says, these promises of shaitan is nothing but deception. وَمَا يَعِدُهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. He's frightening you and he's warning you, but this warning is nothing but deception. He wants to create a mindset within yourself. So one is shaitan and his handiwork. The first of his handiwork is he will create jealousy within you and he will fan that fire of jealousy within your hearts. You cannot see your brother rising. If he is rising, you will try to compete with him. If you cannot match him, you cannot match him equally, then you will work behind his back, you will hurt him. Somehow or the other, you will try and hurt him, you will damage him. You will not allow him to prosper in life. Why? That Shaitan has incited. فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. And on account of you, O Allah Ta'ala, on account of you misleading me, I'm going to mislead the last of them. So this is the first thing, that is jealousy. And we see it so common and so rife in society. We'll hear of situations where a person can tell, see, he'll tell a non-Muslim supplier that you don't supply goods to this person here. And if you ever supply him, then I'm not going to purchase from you. See? What is the need for saying this? The need for saying this is that jealousy and a deficiency in our iman, deficiency in our faith. Our faith tells us that after every namaz, our iman tells us, after every namaz we should say, Allahumma la mani'a lima a'tayt. Allah Ta'ala, what you grant, nobody can withhold. Wa la mu'tiya lima mana'at. And what you would give, O Allah Ta'ala, what you give, nobody can resist, nobody can keep back, nobody can prevent. And what you prevent, nobody can take. You will prevent it from someone, there's no ways that he's going to get that wealth. وَلَا مُؤْتِيَ لِمَا مَنَعَتْ وَلَا يَنْفَعُ ذَا الْجَدِّ مِنْكَ الْجَدِّ. And the third portion of this dua, وَلَا يَنْفَعُ ذَا الْجَدِّ مِنْكَ الْجَدِّ. No matter what you try, how hard you exert your efforts, you will not get more than what has been decreed for you. So when a person has got that iman in taqdeer, I cannot get any cent more than what has been decreed for me, he's not going to exert himself. He will work. Allah Ta'ala wants us to work, but he will work with moderation. He won't kill himself because he knows all I am asked to do is to work with moderation. And the rest is the work of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever Allah Ta'ala wishes to give, he will give. I don't need to kill myself. The person that is killing himself and he's having this great, great hopes, as though his actions are betraying his belief. He's saying, no, my effort will gain me. And my mehnat, my koshish, my mehnat is going to grant me that type of glory. It is not your mehnat. وَلَا يَنْفَعُ ذَا الْجَدِّ مِنْكَ الْجَدِّ. No matter what you try, you will only get that which has been decreed. مَا يَفْتَحِ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ رَحْمَةٍ فَلَا مُمْسِكَ لَهَا. What Allah Ta'ala has opened, the treasures and the wealth that Allah Ta'ala has opened to mankind, nobody can withhold. وَمَا يُمْسِكْ فَلَا مُرْسِلَ لَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِ. And whatever Allah Ta'ala holds back, nobody can grant. He has held it back from you, nobody is going to grant it to you. So these are all the warnings of shaitan. These are the ways of shaitan. This is how he comes about. And one is the way of Rahman and the way of Adam alayhi salam, our father. This is the way of Adam alayhi salam and the righteous servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first gleaming feature in the life of Adam alayhi salam was to acknowledge sin. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Quran Sharif says it in the 8th Sipara, Surah An'am. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا. Allah Ta'ala asked Adam alayhi salam, but why did you go and do this when I had stopped you from this? So he says, instead of making excuses, instead of covering up for himself, he comes out clear to Allah Ta'ala, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. Allah Ta'ala, I have wronged myself, and I am dependent totally on your mercy and your forgiveness. If you don't forgive me, and if you don't show your special mercy and kindness to me, I'm going to be ruined. So this is the first aspect in the life of Adam, and thereafter it is expected of the children and the progeny of Adam alayhi salam to come out in the open in this manner, that they acknowledge sin, they acknowledge their mistake, they confess before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This confession is only before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and none else. He is our creator, He is the provider, He is the sustainer. When He is the sustainer, He is the creator, He is the provider, He grants us the very existence that we enjoy, then we need to confess our sins before Him. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا. Our Rabb, we have wronged ourselves. Unless you don't forgive us and show mercy to us, we will be ruined, we will be devastated, we will be destroyed. This is the first aspect of the life of Adam alayhi salam. Then comes the aspects, الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا. When they walk and they set their foot upon the earth, then it's with humility, it's not with pride and arrogance. See? No matter how they live, no matter what they drive, but they have got that humility in them. They are approachable. They are people that you can speak to. From the meanest to the highest believer, he can be easily approached. You can speak to him. You can have a friendly conversation with him. Why? يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هُونَا. They tread the earth with humility. They know from within their bosoms that they were created from this very dust, and they're returning from this very dust. This is an excellent way of reflecting, that I am created from the dust. Whilst you're walking out, I am created of the dust and I will return here. Today I am walking on the surface of this dust. Tomorrow I'll be buried into the belly of this dust. So when a man thinks like this, then he is coming closer to realities all the time. يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. When people would approach him in an ignorant fashion, then how does he address himself? How does he conduct himself? Obviously, no man wants to appear to be a stupid before others. If someone is running you down, you want to defend your rights. You don't want to be belittled in the presence of people. But the Quran Sharif has got a better, a more excellent, a more beautiful remedy. وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. The Quran Sharif says, when jahils and ignorant people, when they address them, then they look for ways to avoid confrontation and fights. They will not enter into a confrontation. This is the way of a Muslim. This is the way of a believer, that he doesn't want to confront himself in fights, in disputes. The knowledge of Shab-e Qadr was known to Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he was on the verge of announcing it to the Sahaba Ikram, that this is Shab-e Qadr, and then you should exert yourself in ibadat. And when he came out to announce this message, and he saw two people disputing, and he says, for the rest of time, the barakat of this knowledge has been taken away from you, just because of this type of quarrel, this type of dispute. As believers, we believe in ghaib, we believe in the unseen. We don't only believe in what we see, we believe more greater in the things that we do not see. Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, مَنْ تَرَكَ الْمِرَاءَ وَهُوَ مُحِقٌّ. The one who leaves out disputing, he leaves out fighting and quarreling, he leaves out debating, etc. He leaves it out in spite of him being right. It's my right. It's my haq. In spite of it being my haq, I keep quiet, avoid the trouble. I let the right of mine be gone, be taken away, just to avoid trouble. بُنِيَ لَهُ بَيْتًا فِي رَبَضِ الْجَنَّةِ Allah Ta'ala will bless him with a palace, with a jannat in the very center of jannat. In the very center of jannat, the most conspicuous place, Allah Ta'ala will grant him the jannat. Obviously, this is not coming for free. It's very difficult when it's your rights that are being usurped. Someone is disputing with you, and you know he's got no grounds to fight upon. And then just for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, keeping that yaqeen, that Allah Ta'ala is going to bestow me in this way, and keeping that type of anticipation and that type of hope in the Zaat of Allah Ta'ala, I avoid that trouble. The Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi is about the most leading Mufti in Pakistan. The entire Pakistan, he was about the most leading Mufti. And all people, all ulama, and all people of madrasas know him quite well. He had purchased a site in the center of Karachi, a very, very good site, and with good intentions to construct a madrasa. No worldly reasons, no material gains, only so that he could construct a madrasa on that spot. Someone came around and he laid a claim that this is my property. Mullah says that I have got all the evidence, I've got all the papers, but I will not dispute with you. I will allow you to have that land. And only on account of this promise of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من ترك المراء وهو محق بني له بيت في ربض الجنة, that whosoever leaves out disputing, quarreling, fighting, in spite of him being right, then Allah Ta'ala will bless him with a garden right in the center of Jannah. So the very outstanding quality in Islam is to stand up for the right, to leave out evil, to be humble. And all of us talk about it. And all these things, they point out towards one single thing, and that is justice. All of us like justice, whether it's a Muslim or a non-Muslim, it's a believer or unbeliever, all of us will talk highly of justice. That man is just. You want to speak to a gentleman, speak to him. And in fact, non-Muslims also will see us and they will say, no, this man is just. You can speak to him. He will give you, he will tell you what is correct. So every person will adore the one that is just. And the one that is not just, then nobody is interested about your worship. Nobody is interested about anything else. But they want to see, are you a balanced person? Have you got that sense of justice or not? This is the third feature in the lives of the Ibadur Rahman, the favorite servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they stand up for justice. Be that justice for them or against them. Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu had lost his armor and someone picked it up and he laid claim that this is mine. Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala says that this is mine. So the Jew says, well, let's go to court. When he made the offer and he challenged Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala, it's going to be wrong for Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala to refuse. To deny him that right would be wrong. I am claiming this is my right. And he wants to go and prove it in court, then obviously this is his right. He's got all the right to do so. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala had no other resort but to accept this challenge of the Jew. Now, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala is the Khalifa. He's been appointed as the Khalifa of the entire state, Islamic state, millions of people, and about the territory that he's ruling over is about the most populated, most inhabited. So it's about the largest kingdom on earth at the time. And this is the Amir, this is the king. And an ordinary Jew, who is counted to be an enemy of Islam, an enemy of a Muslim, he claims against the Amir that this armor belongs to me. And he challenges and he threatens Ali radiallahu ta'ala that I wish to take you to court. So well, if that is your wish and your desire, you take me. The court, the person that is appointed as the judge is a man of Ali radiallahu ta'ala. It's no third person. He's a man that has been appointed by Ali radiallahu ta'ala himself, Qazi Shurey, very popular, very famous. The man makes a claim Ali radiallahu ta'ala stands up first, because he's a claimant, and he says that this belongs to me, this property belongs to me. The qazi, the judge, instructs Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu that produce your evidence. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that I have got my evidence, and the sharia requisite is, requirement is, I need to have two witnesses. So there is my free slave Amber, he is one witness, and the other witness is my own son, Hasan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The judge, Qadi Shurayh, who has been appointed by Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he rejects the evidence of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Imagine a man being seated and placed by Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he is rejected. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu wants to know that why are you rejecting the evidence that I am presenting before you? He says, as far as your free slave is concerned, then his evidence on your behalf is acceptable. But with regards to your son, Hazrat Hasan, he is giving evidence in your favor is not acceptable, because this will amount to suspicion. And this is the hadith that I've got to support it. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala says, but do you know that Sayyida Shababi Ahli al-Jannah, Al-Hasan wal-Husayn, Hasan radiallahu ta'anhu, Rasul Paksam says himself, and which is repeated from the mimbar and on every Friday, that the leaders of the youth of Jannat is Hasan and Hussein. He is the leader. He's been already endorsed with Jannat, the place in Jannat. And you saying that his evidence is rejected. Says, I've got no other resort but surrender myself to the hadith. The hadith says that the son's evidence on behalf of the father is not acceptable. So I can't, I've got no other option. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala with the cheer in the face, no reservation, no pain, and no ill feelings, he goes out. And he's absolutely happy with the decision that has been taken, because it is from the Quran and the Hadith. Now we need to reflect into ourselves for a moment. For a moment we remain silent and think, in our situations, in our companies, our businesses, in our homes, do we have that level of justice? If we have that level of justice, obviously it's going to impress the non-Muslims that are working for us. But if it is not, we don't display that type of justice, say, well, they are there is no criteria here. There is no criteria here. There is no standards here. There is no equality here. So they watch these things, they observe these things. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala goes out of the court. And he's got no grief, no pain at heart, no ill feelings. And he says to the Jew, well, this is yours, and I've got no recourse, no claim for this. The Jew, for a moment, he remains silent, and then he goes to Ali radiallahu anhu, he says, I can't understand this. But imagine, the judge has been appointed by yourself. I've got a case against the Amir, your king, I've got a case against. And the judge rules against the king in favor of a Jew, an enemy of Islam. So this can only be the kingdom of Allah Ta'ala, where this type of justice can prevail. There can't be any type of justice prevailing in any other type of constitution. It must be the kingdom of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And you bear witness that I say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Now this is what the world is waiting for. They've heard of Muhammad and Ismail and Yusuf. They've heard of Ibrahim. All Muslim names and labels they've heard of. But they want to see Islamic values, Islamic qualities. May Allah Ta'ala grant me and all of us the tawfiq.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.